Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Well, before we get to that part on the calendar that everyone's excited about called Christmas, we have this short series that we're doing called Fight Club for the month of November, Winning the Battles That Matter Most. And last week, we launched it, and we said, church is a fight club, not against each other. God help us. We're to stay unified in love and grace towards one another. But we battle against the darkness. Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us we battle not against flesh and blood, not against the church, people within the church, not even people outside the church. We battle against a spiritual darkness, against principalities and rulers in the dark world. And so we are a corporate and individual fight club. We fight the darkness. And unlike the number one rule in Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club. We are going to talk about it because darkness thrives in obscurity and silence. Satan would just love to think you to think that he's just kind of this little ghost in the corner that isn't very powerful. He is very powerful. And so last week, we looked at the three weapons that the unholy Trinity, we jumped into the deep end, we went into the book of Revelation, Revelation 12 and 13, we looked at the three weapons that the unholy Trinity has against the Christians, the red dragon, the beast from the sea, the beast from the land. Remember those apocalyptical, scary beasts that are warring against the people of God in Revelation 12 and 13. And we saw that the first weapon from the red dragon is shame. Yes, he will get us to sin, and then he will say that you're worthless and that the cross of Jesus Christ is not sufficient for the forgiveness of your sin, and you need to work off and earn back his love and earn his grace, which is completely false. And next week, we're going to dive into that one a bit more. The beast from the sea, it has a weapon of selfishness. Me, a monster on the inside, a me monster that could rise up, a beast from the land. As this weapon of secularism, where he'll tell us that Jesus is just for Sunday, Monday to Saturday. That's you know, you got to be a chameleon the rest of the week just to make your life easier and blend in with the rest of the world. And that's the weapon that the evil one uses, the unholy Trinity uses against us. And we looked at the mark of the beast in 666, and we asked the question, which marks our life? Do we have the marks of the unholy Trinity, or do we have the marks of the holy Trinity on our life? The mark of the beast is not a physical mark, it's a spiritual mark. Do people look at us and go, that's a Christian, or that's a non-Christian? And the weapon of the believer, we said, is in Revelation chapter 12. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their life so much as to shrink from death. I don't know if you ever remember those comic books, Batman and Superman. And Batman and Superman would get in a fight with the bad guy. And then in the comic book, he would punch someone. It would have this big pow, right? Bam, wham, whammy kablammy, right? Like, pow, and he's getting in a big fight. Well, we have a very powerful weapon, which seems foolish and weak according to the world's standards, a slain lamb, a bloody lamb, a lamb that's on the bottom of the food chain. And it's our verbal identification and association with this slain lamb that's alive. And it's not some magical phrasing that we use like hocus pocus, Jesus is my focus. It's a 777 life that says, I'm under his authority, the Holy Trinity's authority and ownership. And it says, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. Pow! And that hits with authority against the darkness. Bam! Whammy kablammy. Pushes back the darkness in our life. Why is the Lamb so powerful? Why is this weak and foolish thing that the world consider so like gentle and at the low end of the food chain so powerful? Because we saw the secret identity of this lamb in Revelation 5. John hears that this lamb actually isn't just a lamb. He's a what? He's a lion. He's at the top of the food chain. And that's the God that's inside of us. That's the God that we pray to. That's the God that pow, hits the darkness with everything and pushes it back in our life. And so it's our verbal identification and association with this slain lamb. When we say with the 7-7 life, Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, pop, it pushes back the darkness. Well, today we're going to do something a little bit different. We're not just going to hear from me. We're going to hear from some people in our church. And at the start of 2024, you might remember if you were with us, there was about 400 of us that chose a vision verse at the beginning of our year. And instead of doing a New Year's resolution where we say, I'm going to resolve to lose weight, save money, and exercise more, whatever, we're going to ask God to resolve to do something in our spiritual lives. And choose a verse, a chunk of verses, and say, hey, okay, God, this year, 2024, I want this verse to come alive in my life. And the biblical metaphor, interestingly enough, that we chose in January for this whole vision verse is part of the armor of God. It's the only offensive weapon that we have, the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's the Spirit and the Word working together to fight the darkness in our life. And about 400 of us chose a vision verse, and we put them on these business cards, and Joy was able to craft this, and it hangs in our foyer as a reminder of how we fight our battles in the year. And what's interestingly enough is that when we were in Revelation last week, John illustrates the power of Jesus' words as the sword coming from his mouth. You know, picture John writing in Revelation, and there's no comic books, there's very little drawings or writings other than someone might paint something. There's no movies, superhero movies, there's no Lord of the Rings movies where he's trying to explain these apocalyptical beasts and even the power of Jesus. And so he has to paint these word pictures in people's minds. And so he sees Jesus in Revelation 1, and the very first picture we see of Jesus to illustrate the very powerful words from his mouth is the most powerful weapon that an individual could hold at that time, which was a sword. His words are powerful, so there's a sword coming from his mouth. And then at the end of Revelation, the book ends with the rider on the white horse, which is Jesus coming, and he's already covered in blood, so he's already done the battle, which means he's completed the work for us on the cross for us, and he wipes up the mess of his enemies in the Battle of Armageddon, and there's a sword from his mouth. And sometimes people think that the Battle of Armageddon is this kind of game 7 overtime battle. Oh no, Satan versus God. Who's going to win? Oh no, Satan rung it off the post. Oh no. But nothing could be farther from the truth. You read it in Revelation chapter 19. God shows up. We're there with bed sheets going, yay, Jesus. And then his enemies show up. And he says, in effect, he kills him with a sword from his mouth. He says something to the effect of, I win. And the mushroom cloud goes from his mouth and destroys evil once and for all. And then he sees in the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation 22, there's no longer any sea, which represents chaos and evil. But back up in the very first showdown that Jesus has with Satan before he starts his ministry, it's called the Great Temptation in Luke 4 and Matthew chapter 4. He pulls the sword from his scabbard once before that final battle in the end where he's just going to pulverize them, and he uses it for the first time in a battle against Satan in the flesh. It is written, he's quoting the Old Testament, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Pow! Satan comes at him again with another temptation. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to this. Pow! He uses the power of the world, the mushroom cloud coming from his mouth. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Pow! And so we learn from Jesus' example that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, uses it to push back the darkness. And so I hope that this year that you've been using your vision verse to push back the darkness. And so today, we are going to hear from some individuals in our church and how they're using their vision verse to fight their battles. Because we, like little Christ, little Christians, Christian means little Christ, have that mushroom cloud that can come from our mouth too to push back the darkness as we use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in our life. And so today, I wanted to profile some leaders in our church that you might not see often. I'm going to ask them to come. We have Jay LaFontaine, we have Chris Kristen Funk, we have Jesse Linford, and we have Candace Turney. These leaders have a significant role in our church, but they're a bit behind the scenes. Jay is is going to be leading our missions team to Soli Island, as we have a mission team that's going to see A&J in Soli Island here in February and March, and Jay's going to be leading that, so I'd like to hear his heart. Kirsten, she works in our office admin staff, and she's pretty sharp, and you're going to hear how God's working in her life. And Jesse Linford, he's one of our youth interns this year, who works with Pastor Josh. And Candace Turney, she's our children's ministry support, helping Debbie Ode in the nursery and in Awana and other things like that. And so I told them that their job was on the line if they didn't help today. And so I got compliance that way. And oh, hey, Zach. Oh, thanks. What I'd love to do is I'm going to ask them just two simple questions. I'm going to ask them, what's their vision verse? And they're on this sword here. What's their vision verse for 2024? And why did they choose it, briefly? And then how is the Spirit using that to enable you to fight your battles in 2024? And then we'll go down the line. What we're going to start with Jay at the end. Jay is going to be leading our Soli team. Oh, yeah, grab that mic. Thanks. To see A&J here soon. And Jay has spent most of his life as a pastor, and he moved here, and he's been just a congregant here, not just a congregant, but a great leader in our church. And Jay, why don't you tell us your vision verse and why you chose it?
My vision verse is Titus 2:11 to 15a, I'll say. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach.
So why did you choose that? Beginning back in January.
As I think about what God is doing in my life right now, as Pastor Brian said, I was a pastor for many, many years. And moving to Alberta, I was looking for something to do for work. And God led me down the road of road construction, where I work for 5 months of the year, I'm on the road. And as I think about this passage of scripture, it came to my mind, it reminded me that you're around a lot of temptations when you're gone for 5 months, when you live in hotels and you're living with younger kids who are rambunctious and eager to do things of the world, and God's called us not to do those things. And so it's given me the reminder of how I'm to live my life while I'm there. And then even the idea of teaching these things to these young men that I work with in our evenings, our free times, and our times away when we're in the weekends away from home, and we're learning together, and I'm trying to teach them what God's called me to do, well, and help them to see the difference between what I am and what they could be also.
So you've noticed that the big difference from being in the church world to being on the road construction. There's a different language that's used and different values that people have. And so this kind of whole self-controlled, upright, godly lives has been kind of a focus for you. How does that specifically help you in your everyday?
This is a reminder of the temptation that's around us. We live around a lot of temptation. When you're away from your wife and your children for many months at a time, there are many temptations that can be your way that way. And reminding myself of this passage of scripture, even when it, you know, to think about what it's telling me to not live in worldly passions. You know, around the party lifestyle that I experience at work, this is a constant reminder that I've chosen to live for Christ, and I will not let this lifestyle impact me as much as I want my lifestyle to impact those people in my life.
Yeah, and you've said that sometimes you're even on Sunday, you have to work and you're watching church on your phone, and people like, hey, what's that?
It's very common that I'm blessed to have a Christian boss. And so most Sunday mornings, I watch the service live, not every Sunday, but most Sunday mornings I do. And I've been caught, as I'll say, watching church. And people will lean over my truck and they'll say, what are you watching? who is that bald guy you're watching over there? I say, it's not my reflection. It's not. It's actually my pastor.
Yeah, touche.
And I've been caught reading my Bible at work, and it's been such a joy to let these people see that, you know, it's, you know, yes, I'm not in church Sunday morning, but when I can be, I am. I had the privilege to be at our church in Grand Prairie last summer, the summer before that, at our church, to go to our church in Outlook, Saskatchewan. And so I look at our family of churches, and I say, if I can go on a Sunday morning, I can't make the trip back home, but maybe I can go to the Alliance Church in Grand Prairie or the one in Outlook, Saskatchewan. And invite people to come with me. Have they come? Not yet. But they have watched Pastor Brent over my shoulder quite a few times.
Scary. So when you think about the Soli trip coming up in the new year, how does this kind of percolate in your mind regarding the Soli trip as you plan for that and plan to lead that?
You know, it's amazing how God affords us opportunities to do things like this. And because I don't work in the wintertime, I'm excited to be a part of this Soli team. I've done many mission trips over the years, but I've not had this kind of opportunity to go to a place such as Soli and serve in this way. And as I look at this text, which I never picked thinking about Soli when I picked this text, but I see how there is a lot of similarities, even into the concept of saying no to ungodliness and how people live there and how I can maybe teach them how we live in a quiet, subtle kind of way through testimony. And so it's actually really interesting to think about how this will fit into our trip to Soli.
Yeah, awesome. You even said that you put this on your phone, this whole scripture, on the home screen.
Temptations are all around us, and our phone can be our friend and it can be our foe.
Yeah.
And I certainly have this on my home screen. It's been on my home screen since the beginning of January. When I turn my phone on, it reminds me, because the internet can lead us down paths very quickly that are inappropriate, that are not godly, and so. But they can also be used. I also use that same phone to watch church on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. in my truck at work, or to read my Bible and do my devotions throughout the day at work. And so, I work 14-hour days on average, and there's a lot of downtime in those 14 hours. And that means there's time to either sin or to celebrate, and I choose to celebrate.
Yeah, that's great, because the phone can be a gateway to either path, the wide or the narrow path. So thanks, Jay. Hand the mic down to Kirsten. Kirsten, she would choose to be anonymous and choose to want to sit behind the scenes, and I've asked her to share it today. And the thing about Kirsten is still waters run deep with this girl. We had this staff event last year at the... At the park, and we played bocce ball. You know what that is, where you roll the ball and you have to get it close to something. And I was playing with her and four or five others, and of all things, I'm not competitive at all. She beat me literally with her eyes closed. Like she would close her eyes and just throw the ball, and she'd be closest to it, and I'd be like playing, like trying to win, and so she never let me win that down. She never let me lose that. So Kirsten likes to win, and she likes to win spiritually too. So Kirsten, why don't you tell us your vision verse? Why don't you read it for us, and then tell us why you chose it.
My vision verse is John 1:5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Yeah. And so when you were choosing it, I guess the end of December or the beginning of January this past year, What drew you to that one in John? That's obviously talking about Jesus and the way of the world, yeah.
Yeah, so that one I saw first. Pastor Brent was doing a sermon series about the light and the darkness, and that one was on the screen, and I was just like, whoa. Like, it just hit me. I was like, that's such a good verse. And it's just, like, stuck with me ever since. And then when it came time to choose a vision verse, I thought back to that one, and I was like, that's great. Like, all I want is the light in my life. So to have that one just like come right to my mind, I was like, yep, that's the one I want.
Yeah. And it just goes to show, like, you don't have, it's not some like, choosing a vision verse doesn't have to be some complex thing. Like, it's like, wow, you know what? That I want to know more of in the new year. I don't know what it means, but I hope that I want that to become alive in my life. God, show me what that means this new year. And so as we think about this coming January, you know, don't make it too complex. Just choose one. And so tell us throughout this year, what are some ways that the Spirit has enabled you to fight your battles? Or how has the Spirit used that to come alive, bring it alive in your life throughout the year?
Yeah, so I feel like, since Pastor Brennan asked me to do this, I was like, well, okay, I really got to reflect on this past year. What has happened? How has this really impacted my life that I haven't thought about before? And I really just thought back to how, like, Jesus' light in the darkness, it just goes back to prayer. Like, I feel before, like, last year, you know, problems would come up, but I would never really, like, pray about them. I'd be like, this will work itself out, it'll be okay, God has it. But I never really asked him for his guidance specifically. And now this year, every time any stress or anything comes up, I always just give it right to God. I pray to God immediately. I'm just like, God, take this, show me what you want from me, and give me the guidance that I need in the situation. So.
And I think Henry Banman, when we did our elders vision verse here, he had a line, what was it? Do you remember? I think it was, ask God first.
Yeah.
Ask God first. And that was kind of what you were thinking before. It was like, do it myself now. Let's go to the light first.
Exactly.
Yeah. Any other ways that it's kind of come alive?
Yeah. One big moment I've noticed this year, there's someone very special in my life who wasn't a Christian, coming to church with me for a year and a half, 2 years, and, you know, just kept planting the seed of God in his life. And then just recently, he actually became a Christian. So I've just been, so it took a lot of prayer. I was praying all the time. I was like, God, like, you know, show yourself to him and through me. And, I got a little discouraged. I was like, I don't know if it's going to happen. It's been so long, you know, and so there was some darkness that came over me, but I knew that if I kept praying, God would show me his light and show that person his light as well.
Yeah, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, we have a powerful God, that light that pushes back the darkness. That's awesome. Thanks, Kirsten. Mm-hmm. Jesse, why don't you tell us your vision verse and why you chose it?
Sure, yeah. For me, actually, when he asked me, I had to go back and find the little card because I completely forgot what mine was.
Thanks for your honesty.
Yeah, I had to go and find that. Mine was Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. So this was a fun one. But when honestly, when I was going through it at the beginning of this year, I had to try and remember how this went. But I had no idea why this verse was laid on, or these verses were laid on my heart. It was genuinely just I was praying about it. I knew I needed to pick one to put on this card so that Joy could make this sword at the beginning of the year. And I was praying about it, and this is the one that kind of, out of all the verses that I read through, well, this is the one that just continued to pop back up every time. I was like, which one I needed to put on there. So at the time, I didn't know why I put it down, but God had laid it on my heart to put it on.
And sometimes that's enough.
Yeah. Right?
It doesn't have to be some complex thing, you know, and just watch what God does with that. And then later in the year, you'll remember it. And so tell us how it's come alive and how the Spirit has used it to fight your battles.
Sure. Yeah. Now, reflecting on the rest of my year, I just mentioned that I completely forgot that I did this. I wish that I hadn't, that I had actually remembered that this was my verse, because reflecting back on some of the experiences in this year, for sure, if I had remembered this, it would have helped me through a lot of this stuff a lot faster, and I wouldn't have had to go through and learn it the hard way necessarily. But yeah, at the beginning of this year, I wasn't the youth intern. I was working facilities here. I was doing youth as a volunteer kind of thing. But youth ministry has been something that's always been on my heart, and I've been going to school for it, so trying to pursue that pretty hard. To the point of, like, beginning of this year, was really trying to find this a space where I could do youth ministry as my job rather than just as a volunteer type thing, so that I can kind of put all my time into it. And at the beginning of this year, there was a couple opportunities that would like show themselves to me, and then right as I'm about to get it, it would kind of get taken out from underneath me, and that was really starting to get me down, and I was really pushing hard to try and get to a position like that. But every time, it would just get, like, the rug would get pulled out from underneath me. So the bitterness really started to kind of, like, fester up in me in that and be like, I'm trying to do this for you, God. This is what was going through my head. I'm trying to do this for you. Why do you keep on taking it away from me, kind of thing? And that bitterness that kept going up kind of started to show itself in other parts of my life, like even working here in facilities. There was a span where, man, my work ethic and attitude went way down. It was real bad, to the point where Corey actually had to call me into his office, and we had to have a nice little chat.
Corey's good at those.
Yeah, he is. And it was genuinely that day. It was in that conversation. I went home and just kept on thinking on it, and I didn't know it at the time because I forgot about this verse. But this is what kind of God was teaching me in this year, was that that I needed to slow down a bit, that I was trying to push so hard for myself to get to those next positions that I was forgetting that I needed to take time and develop and that there is a plan for me, that God does have put a calling on my life for youth ministry. It's just that it will all happen in his timing rather than my timing. And that for now, I just need to continue to be patient and continue to learn and develop the gifts and abilities that he has given me, so that when that call finally does happen, that I am ready to answer it when it does show up, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think anyone here can identify with that. But yeah, we can often run ahead of God's plan or drag behind, and I always pray, let's keep in step. Just keep in step, not run ahead, not try to push it, not try to drag behind. You don't want God dragging you. You don't want to try and pull God along. You want to keep in step with the Spirit. So that's good. Thanks, Jesse. Candace, you're feeling, well, you can if you want. You're feeling a little bit under the weather today, aren't you?
Yeah. My kids shared with me.
You chose this most amazing passage in Ephesians that has so much in it about in Christ, through Christ, in Christ, and our identity in Christ. So why don't you read, I think there's like 9 verses here. Why don't you read this and then tell us why you chose it.
Okay, so I chose Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. He predestined us for adoption to his sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will in accordance with his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were given... Sorry, my glasses...
We were also chosen.
We were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the pleasure of his will, in order that we, who were first to put our hope in Christ Jesus, might be for the praise of his glory. And you, who are also included in Christ, when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Sorry, my version that I read at home is a little bit different. I chose this verse because my mom passed away 2.5 years ago, and it ended very badly between her and I, and it really took me by surprise because we didn't have a particularly contentious relationship. And I did grief share last fall, which was incredibly helpful. But even at the end of it, there was a lingering feeling of, what kind of person am I that my own mom would choose to do this to me? Because like I said, I was deeply hurt by what she chose to do. And I was listening to Brent's sermon, and he mentioned it. And it was his sermon where he talked about our identity and where our identity should be found. And the Holy Spirit just made it really clear that I needed to step back and put my identity back where it belonged.
So it came from this painful situation relationally, which we all can identify with, where someone doesn't meet our expectations. And then you come back to like, wait a second, my identity doesn't come from who that they define me. My identity comes from who I am in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
You talked about being, one day you were in bed and you just couldn't move. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so to kind of give you a little more backstory, it was helpful when I chose my vision verse, but about a month later, I was kind of wrestling with my purpose and my calling. And at that point, I went back to my vision verse, and in my daily devotional time, I went through it verse by verse, and I kind of camped in each verse for a number of days, and out of each of those verses, I pulled an I am statement, or just a statement of identity, and I actually started to memorize them, and that was really, really helpful. And then I thought, okay, that's great. God helped me with the situation with my mom, and now he's done something else, and I kind of forgot about it, but then this fall, I was feeling really bad about my appearance, and it had actually gotten quite heavy, and it was a real struggle. And because, like some of us, I have not enjoyed aging and gaining weight. It's not particularly fun. So I was feeling really bad about that.
Some of us just lose other things.
Yeah. I was lying in bed one night, and I was feeling awful, honestly. And the voices were really dark and really negative about how terrible I was and how worthless I was. And because it was so dark and negative, it was evident that it was spiritual. And what popped to mind was actually this list from my vision verse, is I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am chosen. I am adopted. And I think, honestly, I just got through the first four, and it lifted. It was gone. But what God did is he used that to shine a flashlight on the fact that I had put value in my appearance, and it didn't belong there either. And as I was kind of thinking through how I was going to share this, I was actually driving around being mom taxi, as a lot of you guys know what that's like. And it just kind of occurred to me that we often define ourselves, our value, our identity as much by our weaknesses or our lack or even our perceived lack as we do our strengths. And that's not any more right than becoming arrogant because we're good at math or baseball or whatever. God is in the business of healing that stuff and getting rid of it because it doesn't belong.
Say that again. Like, we often find our identity in our weaknesses and our strengths.
We do. And I think we forget that, right? Like, we carry this baggage around, I'm not good enough at, I'm terrible at this, or I'm really lousy. And that is part of how we see ourselves. It's part of our internal thing that we see when we look in the mirror. That's what we see. I'm not. Well, guess what? God doesn't care. He made you. He knows what you are. He knows what you're not. And he doesn't assign that value to you. He says, you are mine. I love you. I have chosen you. I have destined you. All of these things that are in that passage.
Yeah. It's just amazing, that passage. There's just so much in there. They say that's the longest run-on sentence of Paul in the whole entire Bible. He didn't like stop signs. He just, that whole chunk there from 3 to 14 is just one long run-on sentence because he just can't get it out fast enough. This is who I am in Christ. This is who I am in Christ. And all, there's so many things in there that you could definitely percolate on over the whole year as you form your identity in Christ. That's awesome. Question I want to open up to all four of you, and you can hand the mic down and you can answer or not answer it. What advice would you give everyone today as they use the word to fight their battles? What advice would you give them as they...
I would say picking a vision verse is kind of like opening a door or a window to let God into your life, right? And I would say, do it. Let him in. See what he's going to do, because he will heal. He will fix. He will push out the junk. You have nothing to lose. Just pick a verse.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Yeah, going off of that too, though, after you do let him in, make sure to spend time with it, though, right? For me, like, I completely forgot about mine, and if I hadn't, it would have made a lot of those situations a lot simpler. So, as like, even though you might pick it, be sure to go back to it and spend time in the Word and actually dive into it a little bit more, not just pick it and then forget about it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, Jay.
I'd say remember your verse. That's a good thing. But I also say don't just read it, but verbalize it throughout the day. I mean, when I turn my phone on, we all have our habits of our phones all day long. And when I pick it up, I want to verbalize it. It doesn't have to be really loud, but I want to verbalize it because I think it means, I think it's more powerful to not just to read it, but to verbalize it as we say it, to remind ourselves that God has given us this verse for a purpose. And let's, as we verbalize it, we're remembering to use it on a regular basis.
Yeah, you overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your
testimony.
And verbal identification. There's something powerful when you verbalize the word and you say it. There's something very powerful in that. I hope that today has kind of resurged your own vision verse. If you haven't chosen a vision verse, maybe you can do one for the next month and a half here. But then in January, we are going to do this again. At the very first Sunday of the year, we're going to choose a vision verse instead of doing a New Year's resolution and say, I'm going to resolve to do this, and then we'll forget about it in February. We're going to say, God, I want you to do this in my life. And the biblical metaphor that we're going to be choosing in January, I'll give you an FYI heads up on this, is something from Jeremiah, where God says, I am the potter and you're the clay. I want to mold and shape something in your life. And so between now and January, that's going to be our metaphor, and we're going to kind of create a little display in the foyer on that pottery and the hands coming down and molding and shaping us. And what would it look like for us to say, here's a verse, here's a chunk of verses for me and for you and for everyone, and say, God, this year I want you to mold and shape this in my life. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know why. I kind of have a vague idea of what that means. As we've said, like I just chose. I didn't know what it was going to mean. But what would we see today? Hey, God, this year in these 12 months, take this and mold and shape me into the image of your son and do your work and shape all of us collectively as well. And so that's going to be the metaphor that we're going to choose the first Sunday in January as we talk about Vision Verse 2025.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.